Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahariyam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarna 1. Okay. Then page 15. Though hearing and contemplation are methods of jnana, they also produce favorableness to the Lord, because they produce realization of the form of Brahman and are thus suitable for gradual development of realization of the Lord. Even Shankhya, Astanga Yoga, and Karma are classed as being favorable. To some degree, they produce bhakti. Thus, karma is a cause of bhakti because it is a form of following the Lord's order and involves offering to the Lord. Jnana is an attendant to bhakti by causing detachment to material objects. But so, the cause here means that either the Shankhya, the Astanga, karma, they're favorable in that, like it says, you're following the Lord's order. Because that's actually in one class Prabhupada is explaining that religion means following the law of God or the order of God. You know, like that. Or learning God, knowing who God is. That's religion. So then, in that definition, then we see is that it has the proper aspect of knowledge about the Lord, it has proper aspect about activities in connection with the Lord. And so that makes, that's the favorable aspect, is that they can help with that process. Jnana can help with understanding the Lord, detached from material nature, because if we're attached to material nature, then we're not attached to Krishna. Right? So then by becoming detached from the material nature through knowledge, or by becoming interested in Krishna through knowledge, then that'll be favorable. Right? And then the karma means that the karma, Shankhya, Astanga, these have their favorableness in the way of that they're showing how the world works, how it connects to the Lord, how he manages it, or how to be absorbed in the Lord like this. So these are secondary elements that when they're connected with bhakti, then they become dynamic, right? So then they become, in this way, a cause of bhakti. But on their own, without that connection with bhakti, they're not a cause. So that's very important, because otherwise people will get the mistake that by doing karma, then you can get bhakti. No, it's only when karma is connected with bhakti, then it will give you bhakti. So it's the bhakti element that will give you bhakti, and they will be the medium through. Just like the cooking, you use the frying pan, you get things cooked. The frying pan doesn't do cooking. You know, does that make sense? So it's favorable. And this way you can say, through using these pots, you can get a cooked preparation. But it's actually only the cooking process that gets you the cooked preparation. But it's manifest through those secondary features. Does that make sense? Yeah. However, the previous verse quoted stated that one should worship the Lord with bhakti. Karma and jnana were not given any regard. One should worship by direct bhakti, consisting of hearing and chanting about the Lord. The reasons are shown in the introductory part of the teachings of Sutta. So, even though these things are there, those are assistance or helps in the process. Right? But they're not actually, got a new seat.
Not very good.
No?
Means exterminate.
Ah, okay. You see that one that Madhava had?
Yes. Yeah,
Madhava, but only he can sit on that, because he's like a real yogi.
Oh, I see. It's a more prize.
It's not.
This one, I have another one. Just an old one, and it's better for you. But this time I decided why I spend so much money. Now I see why.
We're buying ghee. Yeah. Why spend 500 rupees? This you can buy for 50 rupees. Yeah, it's a problem.
It wasn't that cheap, but
just
cheaper.
Yeah, no, it's just cheaper. But yeah, sometimes it makes a lot of a difference. Okay, so here he's talking about, but they're not giving any regard because they're not actually the main thing. See, he said, when somebody is absorbed in their conditioning, then you show them how that conditioning can connect to the Lord. And therefore, the karma, the jnana, the yoga, and the shankhya are favorable in engaging your conditioned nature in the Lord's service. But when the consciousness becomes more developed, then you see it's the bhakti itself alone that is the thing. So then you engage in bhakti, of course. Just like if you're a cook, you go into the kitchen and look for the right pot. It's not about the pot. It's about the cooking, what's favorable for the cooking. So you don't even think about the pot. You think, okay, I'm going to cook this, and then you grab that pot. Right? So it's going the other way. But because we have a tendency to be attached, then we take the karma down and then try to connect it to Krishna. And because of that touch of bhakti, then it works. It helps us advance and move forward. But it's even more dynamic. And it's actually the natural position, that it's the bhakti that's actually there. Then you have the form. We take the form and then add bhakti. But actually the natural thing is you have bhakti, you add the form to that. Right? So then you'll see is, I have devotion and so I'm going to serve Krishna. Now in this situation I would serve like this, or in that situation I would serve like that. You know, these options are there. Does that make sense? No, it's just like, let's say you're at the house of Mother Jashoda. So then, the options that are there, then what you can do is cook for Krishna. Cook, serve the meal, things like that. Right? If you're out at Radhakund, then that's going to be a different set. So they're not going to cook out there, right? Where's the kitchen and stuff? So then there, it means eating, they're going to eat, you know, fruits, like this, they're going to, you know, sit, talk, laugh, bathe in Radhakund, you know, have water sports. Does that make sense? You know, rasa dance at night, then they're going to be dancing. You know, so then the favorable thing is, you know, all the music and this and that. You know what I'm saying? So the devotion is there. It just the different situations create the variety of service. While here we take it that the variety is the main thing. And then we have to connect that to the Lord. So we're attached to particular varieties. Does that make sense? But the point is it works. But Jiva Goswami is trying to take us through and show us that eventually you have to see it from the bhakti. It will include the others. But if you start with the karma, jnana, yoga, and shankhya, it doesn't necessarily include the others. It doesn't include bhakti. Right? Because there's plenty of people that are very good at those things, no bhakti. So, you know, so it's just a matter of starting to see what is favorable. But the see is favorable. So what the point is it's about the see that you're. It's important, not the bhakti, or even necessarily favorable. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like that. So it's just trying to bring it forward. Thus the wise constantly, with great joy, perform bhakti to Lord Krishna, which gives joy to the mind. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.22. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukyapatihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme dharma for all human beings, ideas, in other words, yeah? Yeah, okay. E.g. is for example, right? Okay. Is that by which prema bhakti to the Lord arises, which is not caused by anything other than itself, cannot be obstructed, and which satisfies the mind completely. 1.2.6. Right? So here is saying, supreme dharma is that by which premic bhakti arises, right? So you have so many dharmas, and they will give you dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, right? It means that, you know, you get the heavenly planets, if you get liberation, if you get opulence, if you get sense gratification, these are what they'll give. But the dharma that gives you prema, that's the highest dharma, right? And then it has these features that it's not caused by anything other than itself, cannot be obstructed, and which satisfies the mind completely. Right? So it is not caused by anything other than itself. So when we say the karma is the cause in the previous discussion, that's because bhakti is added to it. Then it can do that. Karma on its own can't. It's only when karma is mixed with bhakti, then karma yoga can again bring you forward, right? It's favorable. That's karma as the cause of bhakti. Right? But it's only because bhakti's there. But here he's making the point is that one should be worship the Lord with that bhakti. You know that it's only bhakti. You're just engaging the environment. Does that make sense? It's just whatever situation you're in, you're absorbed in Krishna. So various environments give rise to different opportunities. So that's why then there may be an opportunity for, but if it's not favorable for you or your position or your duties, then it's left. Right? It's someone else's. That's why Krishna says better to do your own service than someone else's. Because it's not that he's saying that better to do your service than a bogus service. He's not saying that. He's saying better to do your service as bona fide than someone else's service that is bona fide. Because it's bona fide for them, it's not for you. Because in that position, then how are you going to engage your nature if you're using someone else's position? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say we're going to, you know, go drive to the temple. So driving to the temple is favorable. You know, it's an action of karma, but it's favorable because it's being engaged in the Lord's service by going to the temple. Right? So then everybody walks to the car, right? So then the 12-year-old, you know, hops into the driver's seat. You know, that means it's a service, it's a bona fide service, the option is there and everything, but is it his opportunity? No. So therefore, then he doesn't sit in the driver's seat. Someone else who's, you know, has a driving's license, you know, is of age, so that when the police pull him over, there's not a problem, then it's their service, you know. But then of that, let's say there's, you know, three adults there. Okay, well, whose service is it going to be? You know, someone has to do this, someone's tired, this one's not, so then they drive. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is better to stick to what you can do nicely for Krishna, because we'll look at it. It means when we talk the thing equal opportunity, who are we talking about? Us or Krishna? Yeah, because the boy could say, hey, why you always get to drive? Why I never get to drive? But the point is it's about service to Krishna. It's not about us. It means it's a relationship between us and Krishna, so we're always included in the equation. But it's about Krishna's pleasure, not our pleasure. Right? And even if we say, no, but you know, we have to be satisfied, the verse here says, which satisfies the mind completely. Will the kid driving the car then satisfy the mind completely? No, he can't be, because he'll want to do again, or he'll want to do this, or why drive this, or wants to drive something else. Or it's about the driving, not about pleasing Krishna. So if you're not pleasing Krishna fully, how will you be satisfied fully? You know what I'm saying? Something says. Now, if there's no one else there and something's just happened and all that, you know, the adult has, you know, fallen down the stairs, got to go to the hospital, no one else. So then if the 12-year-old sticks him in the back seat and drives to the hospital, then that's an emergency. What do you do? So, does that make sense? You know, and if the police pull them over, then you can point out what's happening. Right? But otherwise, it's not going to look good. Right? You know, adults are all in the back seat with their feet sticking out the window, and, you know, on the phone, and the kid's driving. Even better, it's the kid and his younger brother or something, and the brother's pushing the pedals, and he's standing up and driving, you know, because he's not tall enough to use the pedals, that's even more important, right? Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages ask him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential parts so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marga, or the path of sense gratification, and the other is called Nivritti Marga, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.30.20. The Brahma-Bhuta existence. Where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There's no happiness at all. There's just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries. And temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Right. So in this way, then the one's engaged in karma, but for one's own benefit, you know, connected by, that'll be better than just karma. But better than that would be jnana, where there's detachment from the material energy. Does that make sense? That'll be better. Because at least you're not absorbed, distracted by sense gratification. Doesn't mean you're not going to get distracted by renunciation at some point. But. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality. In other words, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service to the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruit of action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in this service. Right, so that's the point, the perpetual, when there's no desire. Because anxiety and misery, all these things come when there's material desire. There's no desire on any of the platforms, Dharma, Artha, Karma, or Moksha. Then there's no anxiety. This is nothing to gain. It's just like, let's say you're in a situation with some friends, and the situation has really nothing to do with you. You're just there with the friends and happen to be the friend's situation. Let's say you went with them down to the dry cleaners, and somehow or another there's some problem with the dry cleaners. So the friend is very upset and very involved in this, and there's a whole conversation going on with the Oriental guy behind the counter that's doing the dry cleaning. You know, because right, it has to be an Oriental guy, right? Because that's bad, right? So it's going on like that, and that fighting is going on, but it has nothing to do with you, so you have no anxiety, because you have nothing there. It's not, you have another guy you go to, it's not your driving. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so you have no anxiety, but the friend who has an attachment because of their garment and because they expect this place to do a particular standard of service, then it's not happening there much in anxiety. You know, and then there's a thing, I was going to use that for this, and now the time, and it's too late, and that takes time. You know, so there's a whole thing going on. So when there's no desire, there's no anxiety. So that's why then it says, which satisfies the mind completely, that's because there's no material need. So then when it's applied in bhakti, pure bhakti, that is what can satisfy the mind. Because as soon as there's a need for dharma, artha, kama, or moksha, there's going to be anxiety. soon as desire is born, the misery goes with it, as Prabhupada pointed out. The material platform, removing misery, that's called happiness. We want happiness, right? But on the material platform, you can only be happy by removing a misery. There is no other way. Does that make sense? Like that. So, that's, so therefore, if there's no material desire, there's no misery. You will say there's no material happiness, but material happiness is only removing the misery. It's not actual happiness. Only bhakti gives real happiness, because then it's in connection with Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah. When we preach like that, then the people get an idea that they will join ISKCON, and it's an idealistic society with no anxiety. And what happens is that they find themselves in a situation where there's a lot of anxiety about service, and it's, you know, it's always there. So, you know, how can we deal with that? Because some people by nature just more anxious, and some people are more kind of relaxed.
So it means you're saying when you're going back to the hub on the LL Airlines, there's more anxiety, and when you're going away from the hub, there's not as much.
Because we have basically two examples. One is from Mahabharata, when one of the days Arjuna had to do some, I don't remember the details, but he had to do some really serious fighting, and he was completely relaxed. He was actually sleeping during the night, but Krishna was walking, you know, his room up and down in an anxiety. And then he came to Arjuna and found him, you know, asleep, like completely. And then he woke him up. He said, "Come on, you gotta be, you know, you." He said, "No, it's your anxiety. Because I fight for you, you have to protect me." But then we see other examples. Like, you know, Srila Prabhupada's disciples anxious for projects or for preaching or for this and that. And then Srila Prabhupada says, yeah, it's good, because it's an anxiety in Krishna consciousness, so it's a good thing.
Yes, means if there's an attachment for this aspect of liberation, well, there'll be no anxiety. Then, I mean, that's what we're dealing with here in this doubt, right? So now, if you look at it on the, you know, just in the general cultural environment, let's say there's some anxiety for the child or the baby or someone who there's an affection for, but you don't really look at it as an anxiety. It's something you'll go through every day and, you know, very much. So it's not a problem because of that affection. So the thing is as we develop our affection for Krishna, these things aren't seen as anxiety. Right? It means there are activities for Krishna. And so, if we're looking at it from the material point of view, there'll be an anxiety. But from the spiritual point of view, because it's for Krishna, those particular emotions and all that aren't a disturbance because of the affection. Right? Does that make sense? So it's the similarity that is the that is being seen as the problem. Because they're saying, oh, but the, like you said, the example of senior devotees are doing, you know, heading up big projects and all that, and there's an anxiety, but that anxiety is in connection with Krishna. So it's not actually an anxiety, they're absorbed in Krishna. You're like Mother Jashoda coming in Nanda Baba and the residents of Vrindavan with Krishna's in the coils of Kaliya, they're an anxiety. But it's an absorption in Krishna, not in, I'm not getting what I want. Right? So the anxiety, when it's connected to Krishna, doesn't give any negative results. So only if we're attached to mukti, then we think the material world is emotions that causes anxiety. So therefore, then the spiritual emotions are also causing anxiety. Therefore, then we want a position where there's no anxiety. They're not distinguishing. So therefore, then the attachment's on liberation. It's not actually on. It's not on the point they're making, because they're using the what do you call it? What was the one of jati, similarity? You know that this activity gives anxiety. That activity gives anxiety. Therefore, the spiritual activity gives anxiety like the material. No, but there is not. One is anxiety because of the material desire. The other is not anxiety because it's connected to Krishna. So the fault there is that there's a similarity, therefore they're trying to connect and make a logical connection when it actually isn't there. It's two different things. Because on the material platform it's an anxiety because you're not getting what you want. The spiritual platform is because you're not getting results for Krishna. Right? Means it can be mixed that you also, in that you're doing a big project, but you also appreciate being the big guy and being the respect and getting things done. Feeling like, you know, the mover and shaker. So that will give anxiety that is material. But the actual anxiety to do it nicely for Krishna, that's not. It gives a spiritual result. And the other one, yes, Krishna will give you trouble. You think you're the big guy, people will be coming in, or things will be happening all the time to show you're not the big guy. I'm the guy that gets things done. Then so many times Krishna will make it, you can't get anything done. You know? Something sense. You know, I'm good at the diplomacy and know how to deal with people, and then you find out and you can't deal with anybody and get the results you want. And then you'll say, well, I'm just doing it for Krishna. It says the part you're doing for Krishna is for Krishna, but the part where you're not, that's where your anxieties, your material anxiety is coming from. Something sense. Yeah. So we're people, we're individuals. So these things don't go away, it's just a matter of where it's going to go. So that makes sense. You know, so basically it comes down to the point of there's always going to be some kind of there's always going to be these varieties of emotion and all that. It's just a matter of deciding where you're going to put your energy and into which set of emotions it's going to be. So we're individuals. And say, oh, I want to get rid of that individuality. But that's also not real, because we're a person. You know? That's like saying, oh, you know, nothing good to eat, so then, you know, the solution will be I'll never eat again. It's not going to work. No, you just have to put yourself in a situation where there is something decent to eat. You know, like I said, it has those anxieties, but at least then you get, you know, going towards the hub, you get something good to eat. So it makes sense.
I think that another misunderstanding which often happens, because here it mentions that Yayatma Suprasidati means the Atma gets satisfied, which here is translated mind, which is, you know, it's actually interesting how this verse, according to different, not commentators even, but it's actually translated slightly different.
Different purports, you'll have different.
Yeah.
That's what you want to bring out.
Yeah, exactly. According to.
Yeah. So it's probably will translate one way, let's say in Chaitanya Charitamrita, different in the Bhagavatam, different in Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
It's just bringing out a different angle.
Yeah, according to the context.
Yes.
So the Atma, you know, performing pure devotional service, we're getting satisfied, but because of that, stress and anxiety, then the body is falling apart. So, you know, this combination also, it's kind of, you know, it's not what actually expected.
Yeah. Because but what we're expecting is something false. See, is that, like we said, if there's great affection, you're willing to work very hard and do so many things. It's just like, let's say you have the person, and they're unmarried, they're sitting at home, they're sitting in their place, and they only do as much work as they need to, like, pay the bills and this and that, and if there's any way to get, you know, a little bit, you know, reduce it a little bit, they will. Now let's say once they have a family and you know, children and so many things, they work very, very hard, right? But they don't notice it, it's fine for them. You know, it's understood there'll be a little bit of trouble. But then if you don't do that, the guy's sitting at home doing anything and he's playing his video game, then it's his big anxiety and big trouble is that he's hungry or thirsty, he's got to get up from the couch, walk all the way, you know, all that, you know, 5 meters into the kitchen, and then, you know, with his arm, you know, with a great strength, you know, pull on the door of the refrigerator, and then you have to make all these mental anxieties of the decisions of, you know, what you're going to get out of the fridge and this and that, and then there's a problem, can you eat it straight there, where's the fork and spoon, and I mean, just like, his world is falling apart with anxieties when it's just, he'd just rather be playing the game. But then the person who, that same person later in life, then they're doing so many big activities and responsible activities, and it doesn't create the same anxiety, or even if it does, it's only that much. But because it has a direction to it, it's in line with what he wants to get done. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that being a person, those things you value, you don't mind the problem. You know, it's just like, let's take that example again. They're playing the video game and something happens with the connection. Or this or that. For them, they just, you know, grab the keyboard, do this and that, push this, do that. And they, you know, it's a whole thing. They go through like 10 operations to get it to work again. I know myself, as soon as it goes, if I can't push one button and it goes back to normal, that's it, I'm done.
Renunciation.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, forget it. You know, it's like, I'm not going through this 10 stages. Because you see the nerds, they always tell you, hey, this is not working. Oh, that's easy. And then they push this, that, do that, draw that from here, go into this place, pull that out of there, do this amazingly complicated thing, and then go, see? It's kind of like, are you kidding? You know? You know, it's like, you know? And they do that all the time. And so. Yeah, and the best part, they do it without the mouse. Mm-hmm. You know, they just do it all by keyboards and functions. Yeah, yeah. So for them, it's easy. You know, because that's the thing. For them, that's not a problem. For you, it's a complete. How you say? It's the deciding factor to not be involved with it at all.
Like,
you
know?
Huh? Yes, it's just like, forget it. You know, not
dealing with it. Never touching it again.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, what do you call it? So then it's just a matter of where their values are. Because you'll see the same person that's in anxiety about this and that will be doing all kinds of things that's total anxiety. They won't count that as anxiety. But an area that is an anxiety for them, then, oh, it's a big thing that's in Krishna consciousness there. What about all these other things? So it's just a matter of their values. So that's why then the second verse of the Chaturshloki is mentioning that all values, if they're not seen in connection with Krishna, then they're illusion. So those things they see in connection, and that's working. Things that they don't, they have other interests, and that'll be a problem. So it's the areas of illusion that cause, because you can't get material distress from devotional activities. It doesn't exist. So. So it's just analyzing where the problem lies. It's just a matter of some of the other things are going well. It's just like, oh, nothing works. It means in one area it's not working. Everything else is working. You know, so in 10 areas it's working, but any one of them doesn't work. Oh, nothing works. It's just like, I've seen someone comes out of their house, they're thinking something, they bump into a friend, they talk with them, they agree with them on it, you know. They come to the meeting, and then in the meeting they go, everyone says, everyone means that one guy, you know. So the same way, it's 10 things are going on, one goes wrong, oh, everything's wrong. No, 9 things are okay, 90% you're good, 10% is a problem. Yeah, but the problem is that 10% becomes magnified, you know, so then it becomes...
Should all say it's just a matter of perception.
Yeah. So that's why then in this case you can say the mind is completely satisfied. Because when you say Atma, it doesn't mean body, mind, intelligence, consciousness, or the soul. Or you can say body, mind, consciousness, and the soul. However you want to, you know, which aspect you want to bring up. So here the mind is because you perceive it, you know, like that, because that's the instrument you're working with. And for the mind to be satisfied means you're actually then working with the spiritual mind, not the material. Because the material mind can't be satisfied. How is that possible? You know, it's just like at any time you can use the spiritual mind and spiritual senses. I mean, spiritual mind is spiritual intelligence. Like that. But we generally tend to not do that because we're attached to the material. The spiritual intelligence says, no, this is what you should do. But the material intelligence, no, but use this and that and doubt and so many different things. And so that's the thing. At any time you can actually take advantage of them, but the tendency is we don't necessarily. So then it's just a matter of pointing out then, in that is that means anything that you value, it's worth the effort. So if you value this Krishna, if you're convinced of Krishna consciousness, convinced of this relationship with Krishna, it's worth the effort. And the anxiety that comes up is due to our condition, right? That you're considering the problem. You know, it's just like mothers, you know, maybe there, oh, the baby cries all the time, and I'm up all night, I haven't slept for 2 years. Okay, we'll take the baby, you don't have to worry about it. It's like, whoa, what are you talking about? No, but it's an anxiety. Get rid of the baby, there's no anxiety. You know? So, you know, no, I want the baby. So it's it's also just another way. It's like a negative way of tasting the taste of the relationship. It's just further tasting the relationship. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that good? You had something?
Mr.
Bhakti.
Yes. For example, I needed an explanation in 20 years for deducing this Mishra Bhakti removed in my life, for deducing material desires. Nowadays, sometimes young devotees ask me, should I study with the devotee, should I be a meditator, or should I marry? And now I see it's not necessary for Krishna, not very necessary for happiness. But what should I say? If they will have strong sadhusanga, is it possible for them to leave this material desires very quickly without doing all these material things? Or is it better to live with the problem as well?
Okay, so then it's about, okay, because you're engaging your conditioning in Krishna service, and some of those conditionings, like you mentioned, your marriage, then will be much more, it will take a lot of time and effort and all that, and it may reduce some of the direct activities of devotional service. So as one goes through all these things, you see that actually it's not as important, like you're saying. So then for younger people, is that how you would suggest? You know, or is it just association, right? So then the thing with the association is that's always valuable. So the point is, being in good association, that should always be there. Then if by being in that association, they pick up that it's not so important for them, then fine. But if not, then if they, even they get married, in that good association, things will go much better. So the point is, it's association. It's not association and giving up all you know, basically elements of your conditioning, you know, any major, or dealing with the conditioning and no association. No, it should be association is always there, whatever your platform. Whether you're a need, whether you're not a devotee yet, you just have Agati Sukriti, you know, or even there's no Agati Sukriti, it's only by devotees association you'll get Agati Sukriti. By a devotee's association, the Agati Sukriti will turn into Shraddha. Then by the devotee's association, that will turn into Nishta. By that devotee's association, it will turn into Ruchi and Bhava and Prema. So it's all, the association is the constant element in devotional service. That has to be there. And then they have to see. First of all, associate, you see that you're, you know, good in your service, if they have that option. Then, that's going nicely, then you judge. You know what I'm saying? But if he has somebody who's already married, you know, or already is about to get, it's all arranged, it's not that, they just take the good association and see how it all connects to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's that, you have the Vedic systems, because sannyas is the natural position of the devotee. It's a mentality, right? Sannyas is a mentality. It means it's everything is connected to the Lord. San means from san, means complete. So they're completely disengaged from the material world, completely engaged in Krishna service, right? So then, like that example before with Arjuna, he's sleeping peacefully because everything's engaged in Krishna's service. It's not his anxiety. He just does a service to please Krishna. He's sleeping peacefully. You know? And Krishna, for, you know, taste is an anxiety, thinking how it's all going to work out nicely for the devotee, because he's going to make a wonderful pastime that will be attractive and people will be inspired. At the same time, the demons know, don't mess with the devotees. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but that anxiety is also based on affection. So for Krishna, then there's no. Yeah, because it's not that after he wakes him up, and Arjuna says that, it's not that Krishna insists that he has to stay up. It's just to show the pastime, show the relationship between the devotee and the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's sannyas, where everything's for Krishna. Does that make sense? So now, the student life is meant to study so that you have the basis in knowledge and practice on how to engage everything in Krishna's service. Right? And if you gain that, then you're already on that platform of sannyas. Like Narad Muni, he's a brahmachari, but he's on the platform of sannyas. He moves in those circles and everybody respects him. It's not that the sannyasi, he's a brahmachari where the swami is. Right? No, it's this, he's on the platform of sannyas. Does that make sense? And then you have grihastha ashram, then you have those on that platform, they're also on that platform. But for whatever reason, that's the favorable situation for them. Right? Then it has its activities. But then from that, then there's retiring from that. That's vanaprastha. So in vanaprastha, then it's not about increasing and developing. It's just about by this, because when you go before and in the beginning stages of family life, there may be this whole idea of what will be ideal for their family life. What you need, what facilities, what activities, you know, everything, what experiences, you know, go on a boat around the world, or climb Mount Everest, or go down and shake hands with the penguin on the South Pole, and, you know, stuff. Who knows what is the idea? You know? With them, I guess you could shake hands. Wouldn't it be easier to do like a high five or something? You just got a flipper.
That's highly possible with this penguin.
Yeah, that would work. Like that. Then you have to catch an emperor penguin.
It's natural.
As
if they want to hug you.
So whatever it is that the important values are, But with time, after so many years, you start to see is actually only these things are important. You think, oh, eat all these. No, this is important. I'll do all that, and only this is important. I'll wear all, yeah, oh, this is important. So vanaprastha means you've worked out all those. You just do that and maintain that. Because you've seen it works for your nature, it works for your service, it works, it's fine. You don't have to think about it. Does that make sense? That's vanaprastha. It's because now, because you don't have to think about it, now you can put more effort into direct activities. Does that make sense? And at the same time, as you can give nice advice to those who are younger on what's the game, what's not the game, what you think you'll gain, what you actually won't gain. You know what I'm saying? So those kind of things you can discuss, but you have to do it in a way that'll be inspiring to them. Because you can't completely deflate that the Grihastha ashram won't get you anything, but at the same time as they can't be detached and just not do it. So therefore then they'll have to go into it, but there'll be nothing from it, and so then they're just in the mode of ignorance and they won't use their intelligence. So it's a matter of what works for the person at the time. That's what you look for. Because the whole point is even they go into Grihastha life, if they have good association, they'll figure out what's useful and what's not. But the point is if you always insist on the importance of association, then if they don't stay in Mayapur, they go somewhere, they'll go for a place that has association. You know what I'm saying? You know, because it's go to those places where there are, and then spend your time there. You know, try to work things. Because how many things are? I mean, there's the whole world. You know, where do you go? Does that make sense? So the thing is what situation is best for, you know, making everything work. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it means they have to exceed the whole thing. You know, you can't just take part of it. Okay, but it's still a big place. Well, eventually you learn nothing's yours, because then when you get into family life and you have the family and the wife and the kids, is that there is nothing that's yours. You know, it's like Prabhupada gives the example is that you know, if you're out on the street and that the money in your pocket, you know, like say $1,000, someone takes it out of your pocket, they're a thief. But when you go home and put down your stuff and all that, your wife comes and takes out, oh wow, I'm going to do this. And it's kind of like, he says, probably you just laugh. Oh, you took my money? And yeah. You know, and so it's just, it's a pleasure. You know, so. So it's just, it's, nothing's yours. That's the whole point.
Philosophically, he understands that there is nothing in this material world for us to do. But he simultaneously he has material desire to be famous.
Yes.
What to advise to him?
So the point is how to engage him in Krishna service. Because the point is the material side, if it's obvious, there's no benefit. Otherwise, why are people joining Krishna consciousness? If material life is so fabulous, why are they taking up Krishna consciousness? Right? Because it's not so great. You know what I'm saying? People say it's great. It's just like you know, there's Instagram and that. They show you the picture of the lunch. But did they actually eat that lunch? You know? Not necessarily. Or they just pick a few things out of there, but if they ate that lunch, you know, then as they walk down the street they'd get so big they wouldn't be able to get on the bus. Right? You know? No? Isn't it? Because if you eat, you know, one calorie too much, you know, you turn into like an elephant. Isn't that the anxiety? And, you know, that's it. You know, I people have told me, and they tell with such sincerity when they say this. It's like, it's such a value to them. And they're so, what do you call it? There's so much a mix of intense feelings when they bring this up. I think it's a moment on the lips, forever on the hips. You heard that? You know? You know, so this has been, I've heard it out of some lady's mouth. But you can see is that they say so much want to eat that. But they're, you know, but at the same time as they know the effect that they'll have. So they won't eat it. So it's like, you can't eat it. It's like, you know, it's complete, you know, total enemy. But at the same time, they're so attached. It's like, it's really strange to watch just the how they say it. They almost say it with, like, hissing sound. Yeah, if you're going at it's control of the senses. What you can see is that they're really in anxiety that you're eating it. If you were, it means, in other words, they're eating a salad. If you were eating a salad, it'd be fine. But they're eating a salad, and you're eating, you know, like a lasagna or something like that. That's a problem. Because they always make the comments about health and this and that. If you're eating a salad, then no one. If two people are eating salad, no one talks about health. Right? But if one is eating the salad, someone else is eating something that tastes good, then they talk about health. Because the point is, health, it doesn't necessarily taste good. So. Does that make sense? I mean, if you're very expert, like Govinda Maharaj, I've seen him take the ordinary health things and how he'll put them together. He makes the tastiest thing. I mean, I've never seen anyone anywhere ever do that with health things. He does, you know, like he makes like an oat drink, you know, which is not that great. But he'll like put saffron in it and he'll do all these far out things. But the balance is so perfect, it comes out. Does that make sense? Sorry? Okay, so then he's learned. Because the point is if you know what taste is, you'll get it no matter what the situation. Like I've seen somebody cook soup. I mean, we had a cook here once before who's a professional cook. He was working 5-star hotels like that. But he was connected with, he was a relative of a devotee, and he asked him to come and cook at the Gurukul. So he could cook for 140 people using, I forget how much, just hardly any ghee. And it would have very nice taste, because you get everything so balanced. As soon as you drop one thing, you've got to drop everything else. But if it's in the same balance, you get the full flavor. But if you take up, everything else has to go off. Or I remember seeing, I'd make a lemon, lemon juice. You know, you cup of that, you put in one lemon or, you know, two lemons or whatever it is, and a ton of sugar. You know, how many lemons, that much sugar, and this and that. You get it balanced so it's not too sweet, it's not too sour. But it would be very intense. But I remember going to these, like, Marwari's houses. And there might be, like, a quarter lemon in the full glass, but the amount of sugar they put is so perfect. When you taste it, it's just, like, really refreshing. Because when you put two lemons and all that sugar, it tastes good, but it doesn't necessarily get rid of your thirst. You know, so it's just the balance is so perfect.
In his lecture,
about me?
See?
About health things?
About perfect balance.
Oh.
Okay.
Remember once he was eating it, and he was appreciative. He said if there was one more grain of salt, it would be too much. He says, you get it right. Don't put the one more. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, okay.
You know those book friends here? Yeah? They speak nicely behind your back.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what it's kind of true. How did we get into that? Was it from balance or the sun? Okay, but I'm just seeing is how we got onto that line. Because you get on one or the one, I mean, it's like a, it just connects until you end up in Tallahassee or something. Probably on your side, or Timbuktu. You have that? I don't know. In America, something's like so far out of the way, it's like in the middle of nowhere, it's Timbuktu. You know Timbuktu? It's out in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Hmm.
It's a city, Timbuktu.
We also have names like that. Different cities in different sides.
That's so, I mean, it's like going to New York.
Interesting how everybody does the same thing.
Yes, same thing. It's just something different. Yeah.
My grandma used to say that all.
Yeah. It's just like who your jokes are about. It's always about someone else that you figure is not so smart. You know, it's like I think that I guess in New Zealand the jokes are about the Aussies, and the Aussies the jokes are about the Kiwis. You know, so it's because they figure the other, what is it? What do you call it? I think it was about Australia. Then. All those below a certain IQ that was too low left Australia and went to New Zealand. Both countries were improved. So that's the Aussie one. You know, but the Kiwis, you know, with their retort is, that's another thing. Yeah, so then on that is that it's a matter of explaining the importance of everything. So then you know what's there. You know the value of the five main acts of devotional service and the value of all the different features that are there in devotional activities, what to consider, so that they know how to think about it. And then you have to, encourage them. And then with time, it'll start to, as they analyze, it'll be clear what's best for them. And whatever it is, then you try to encourage them in that what's the best. You know, because the point is everybody is an individual. You know, that's the thing, is that they have to at some point engage in activities for themselves, right? As the children, we do the best to show them, but at some point, you know, it's like Prabhupada says, is, you learn from the instructor how to fly the plane, but at some point you have to fly it yourself. No one else can help you. You know, you can give instructions, but they have to do it. Does that make sense? So like that. So that association, see that that's important, and then you work like that. Because there's so many things one can do. It's just a matter of what you think. I mean, there's so many people in Mayapur, they're maintaining themselves here in Mayapur. That. So it is possible, or take in some department, in the temple, do something, or some other things. Some people run businesses, you know, so many things like that. I wouldn't even know. I think it's become very broad what people are doing, especially now with the internet, and they can do so much stuff. You know, before it was either you were a temple, you know, devotee, or you were on holiday. These were the two options, you know. But nowadays, it's quite a wide range. It's just how you see. If you value yourself as driving around in a Rolls Royce, then might or might not be the best place. You know, you don't have the roads for it. You know, they're not wide enough. You know, you take the Silver Ghost, you know, down the road right here, going to the temple. You take up the whole road. And, you know, where will the bullock cart go? There's not enough room, you know, for the bullock cart and you. So it won't work. Sorry? And the elephant, yeah. The elephant might sit on it, on the car. I've seen them. You honk too much. When they have a bus out there, you know, had that shrill horn, so it was honking, 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 because the elephants are walking. Like that. Elephant turned around, walked back to the bus, and started shaking the bus. The whole bus. Yeah, the whole bus is shaking. Huh? They just moved their head. You know, smart. But that was Gulab Kali. She was big. You know, after that, the buses don't mess, because the same guys, they all sit in Vrishnagar or down here in the depot and talk. And they all know, don't mess with the elephants. You know, so after that, it only happened once.
Once is enough.
Yeah, once is enough. You know, I mean, they probably could have pushed it over, but they just, you know, were shaking it to just don't do that. You know?
Make the point.
And then after that, just peacefully walk off again. So then...
regarding the point, I feel that here, and what the energy is like, woman's mother.
Oh.
First time. Because it was a bit nervous.
Some butterflies. And you were not confident that the butterflies were enough wing surface to get you down to the ground. Yeah, no, I saw on some other airline. I wasn't on the plane, but I can remember when when you're sitting there waiting and the pilots come off, or the pilots go through, and there was the co-pilot and the pilot, whichever way it was, but one of them was a lady.
I understand she
wasn't
the first pilot.
Maybe
she's
maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's just, see, because technically, as far as skill goes, there'll be no difference. The men and the women will have the same ability in that way. But at the same time, it's just whether the mentality will have it. Because if everything's going perfectly, like I remember, there's always a thing like in motorsport. Why there's no ladies and this and that, the men are keeping out. It's not so much that. It's that there have been ladies who are really good. They can get best lap times, best everything like that, but you put them in the race and they're surrounded by five cars that are all right next to each other and this and that, and somebody's cutting and this and that. They lose it and they crash. So that was the thing, is this one lady who's the top. She could get the best track time, better than anybody because of the skill. But you put her in that kind of pressure, she would crash every time. Like that. Not that there's not men like that also. They're the best. They can do the best lap. You put them in pressure in a fight with another car, they'll always lose it. So that's the thing, is that that's why Krishna says, do your service. So what service you could do with your mentality, that it will always be successful. So if there's a man and a woman in the cockpit, I wouldn't be as worried. But if there's two ladies in the cockpit, yeah, that I would be in anxiety. Because if something goes wrong, the man will think. The woman will freak. Because the thing is when women start to freak out, men start to become, look at the mechanics. They're not freaking out. Then when the woman's not freaking out, it's the man who's freaking out, right? Because he's got to figure out how to make everything work because she's on top of it. But then the work, if you have two ladies, then it might be a problem.
Interesting that they have so much of freedom and equal opportunities in the West, but actually you get them here and not there.
Yeah. No, so much. It's like, they say, they talk about India's had women gurus for, so long.
President?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's just, that's the thing. You don't have a problem if they can do it. So the example of, well, Gargi's there. Okay, that's her. And then, one or two others, that's okay. 151 billion years, you have three examples. Okay. But they're at the Uttama platform. Vedanta Sutra mentions the Gotami. One of the ladies as the example of the Uttama devotee. Gargi. Yeah. Oh, Gotami. Gargi. Excuse me.
G.
Something with a G and ending with an I. Right? Gargi. So, yes, if it's there fully, then what's the problem? But just to say, no, we have to do it because we're ladies, then no, that doesn't work. It's not necessarily. Yeah, so the thing is the individual themselves should be encouraged to understand what's going on so they can make the choices. And if they ask, what's your opinion, you can give, but give the opinion in a way so you're explaining why. So it is clear. If you just say, well, I don't like it, then that won't be enough. Because they'll find another friend who'll say, it's great. So when you say, because of this, it may look nice and there'll be these advantages, but there's these disadvantages. Someone else, oh, no, you get all these advantages. Then you can say, well, what about the disadvantages? And when you ask him, he can't say, oh, well, it happens. What's the big deal? Or this and that. So.
Thank you.
We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. Right? So it sustains your existence, that means it's the work. So that means it has to sustain your existence. So the thing is your existence isn't just the physical. It has to be the physical, the mental, and the situation you're in, everything. So then, therefore, bhakti has to be included, because that's the only thing that will sustain the soul. Nothing else will sustain the soul. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity, or eternal form, amongst all other living beings, or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence. And Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. So it said, it's 2:10. They put it upside down. Because I realized that I have no idea what time it is. Like now, I would have expected it's, we have another 20 minutes, but we only have another 5 minutes. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.26 purport. I mean 1.2.6. yeah. 1.12.26 purport, right? That followed that to logic.
156.
Huh? Yes, so the aspect of the devotional service is the real occupation, because that actually sustains you. Because if you're saying what will sustain you, that which sustains one's existence, does any material occupation sustain your existence? Because you're the soul. Because the body means you're maintaining the body from the occupational duties on the material platform. The soul is not being sustained from that. The soul with a body, without a body, it still exists. So if you're talking about the soul and it's, what is the nature of the soul, then the nature is that of servant. To serve the Supreme, that's real sustenance. Right? That's the real existence. So anything that supports bringing oneself to the point of that real existence, that is actual occupation. So that means that nitya dharma, that has to be seen. Everything else has to be seen in that context. So then you have to see, is okay, what occupation do I have the nature to be able to do to maintain this body so I can do service? What opportunities are there? What situations? Somebody says. Further illustration by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the present verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the soul can become happy only when living according to the Supreme Dharma. A common English translation for the word dharma is religion, but as mentioned above, a more accurate meaning is that which sustains one's existence, or one's essential characteristic. Everything has an essential characteristic. The essential characteristics of chili peppers, for instance, is to taste very hot. When we go to the market to purchase chili peppers, we test how hot they are. If they are not very hot, we reject them. So the dharma of chili peppers is to be very hot. Similarly, the dharma of sugar is to be sweet. That would be interesting. That means, I don't know if that means they take them back and they try cooking with them. If they're not hot, then they don't buy from that guy anymore. Or if in the market they actually take some and then they...
There's some taste right there.
Yeah.
Or you can smell them.
Yeah. Yeah.
By smell, you can also tell discriminate. Huh? Oh, yeah. Because it has very strong taste, the smell when it's hot.
Okay. So if you get rid of those Buddha chilies or that, when you smell it, the top of your head's not there anymore. You feel the leaves on the inside of your ears. Right? Yes. Yeah, essential characteristic, yeah. Then what is the dharma of the soul? Right, because that's the whole point, is we're the soul, not the body. So then since we're seeing to our sustenance, we have to see that. We put too much emphasis on the body. Right, the body and mind, but the point, you have to put it on the soul, and then the soul is in a particular body and mind, therefore then you adjust to that, because as a soul then you have to be engaged in Krishna's service, okay, and at once and that would mean is then you try to as much as possible engage in the direct activities of devotional service. Then you need to maintain that position, or how much you can be involved, that's when you consider what the mind likes to do, which activities, or even that, which ones you want to be involved in, and then you work back from there. That's then what you would do. And then you see, these things will maintain the soul, but at the same time, you'll maintain the situation that I'm in. Does that make sense? When entrapped by the material nature, the soul adopts various artificial dharmas based on its false identification with the body. Right? So, if they're artificial, then you can't say that that's real. You know? Someone born in a Hindu family will say, I am Hindu. Someone born in a Muslim family will claim, I am a Muslim. Someone born in a Christian family will claim, I am Christian, and so on. But as I have already explained, one's real identity is the spirit soul, aham brahmasmi. I am Brahman, I am spirit soul. When we come to that platform of spiritual understanding, our essential characteristic becomes clear, as explained here, savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje. The supreme dharma of the soul is bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. That is our essential characteristic. Everyone is already a devotee of his country, his society, his family, his wife, his children, his senses. No one can say, I do not serve anyone. You must serve, because that is your dharma. A person has no one to serve, he keeps a cat or dog and serves it. So to render loving service to someone else is our essential characteristic. But we are missing the point. We are loving cats and dogs and so many other things, but we are neglecting to love God. Therefore, we are not getting real happiness. When we shall direct our love towards the proper object, Adhokshija, or Krishna, will become happy. Right, so that's where you have to start. You have to know who you are. Because you say, well, what will I do? You know, like that. Well, who are you first? And then take it back from there. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.